Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 135 for the January 2019 previews. Normally in this episode, we'd be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. And these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips as often as you can to promote the comics you love. There are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. And normally, we'd be starting at the beginning of previews and working over to the back, playing through those clips. But this is one of those months, and it's only really happened once before back in October, where I need to get the episode edited and posted before I go on a trip, and that kind of interfered with the normal timeline of events. So this month, we're changing things up again. The question we're going to ask this month is we're taking a step back and not asking for specific things that got on your pull list, but asking the question of how do you pick what you get? Is your limiting factor money, time, interest, space, or something else? You know, in a nutshell, how do you define or describe your comic collecting habit? How do you maintain and store and organize your collection? And what sort of criteria gets something on or off your reading list? So in essence, not just for how do you pick the things you would send in clips for, but when you're going through either the order form every month or you're at the comic shop and you're looking at the comics, what is it that makes you decide you're going to get one comic and not get another comic? So with that, let's get going.
Hi, this is Nathan, or ND Horse on the forums, with my lists of what I buy and why I buy. Actually, what I buy and what I read are two very different things, which I'll get into. Currently, the things that I like to buy are my perennial favorite characters. I have always been a huge Thor fan, going back almost 30 years now. Ever since the death of Superman, I have been an avid Superman buyer. I also just enjoy the Justice League, and usually I'll buy characters around that kind of just pique my interest a little bit, sound a little interesting. At Marvel, those are the only things I buy currently at Marvel are Thor as Guardians of the Galaxies and Avengers. If you sense a common theme, that's either Thor or a Jason Aaron theme. I'm not huge into buying lots of Marvel at the moment. DC, I'm a little more in on. I love things like Superman comics, Justice League, Green Lantern, and then the occasional series here that piques my interest. I was recently buying Terrifics, but that kind of fell. I actually just dropped that one the other day. Other things I buy are just those, you know, characters that have a nostalgic feeling for me that I love. One of my favorite movies of all times is Aliens. So any Aliens comic book out there, I will buy it. I'm also a huge Joss Whedon fan, so I have all the Buffy comics, all the Firefly comics, those kinds of things. So really, it's just my perennial favorite characters is one of the reasons why I buy something. I also have perennial favorite creators. Jason Aaron is probably my current favorite creator. I love most of his books. I've been loving his Thor run for years. That's the only reason why I actually picked up Avengers recently. I wasn't buying Avengers before that, but I figured I'd pick it up because Jason Aaron's writing it, and I heard he was going to tie it all into his Thor run and everything. There's other creators that I love. Eric Larson is the only Image founder I have been buying since it first came out. I have a complete collection of Savage Dragon comics, which I love. Also, Garth Ennis is another creator I like. I loved his superhero stuff back in the 90s, but he's branched out a lot and done a lot of creator-owned stuff and historical fiction type stuff, World War II stuff, and that I really love that kind of stuff too. So I also just have some creators that I will always follow. And I'll occasionally buy an interesting event, usually at one of the big two, if it looks good. Some events, you know, that I've recently purchased have been Secret Wars. That one just sounded very interesting, the way it was going to smash worlds together. It sounded very interesting. But other events I kind of just, you know, on. Didn't get into the current Infinity Wars. I didn't get Civil War 2, things like that. Whereas like over events over at DC, you know, their events typically seem to tie in the Justice League and my favorite characters more, like Superman and Green Lantern. So I'll buy DC event comics more. Other types of things I'll buy are, like, I'm currently buying Heroes in Crisis, and I'm buying Stay Clock. I like them, because they, you know, I have a more of affinity for DC characters, so I'm more willing to buy their event comics. And I'll occasionally buy, pick up random independent or image series that just seem to have a little bit of buzz. I recently started picking up Redneck. I've got that first issue. Just heard the buzz about that one by, that's one by Jason Aaron or Donny Cates. Now I'm forgetting who writes Redneck. But I'm enjoying that series. And also recently I've been buying a lot of digital comics. One of the things about I like about digital comics is that they go on sale a lot. You can find sales on comics all the time. You know, every week there's a sale, 50, 75, 90% off of some old collections or something. You can buy pretty much any trade on Comixology or Amazon for under 10 bucks and you get lots of stuff. So, but kind of how I said before, there's a big difference between what I buy and what I read. I probably read three or four times as much as I actually buy. And the reason for that is that here where I live, I have an amazing library system. They can get me almost any DC or Marvel book, and even most independents too. I can pick up a trade paperback and read that with, I have kind of no worries about how, am I wasting my money or anything like that. So in addition to just kind of what I was talking before about what I buy, I read a ton more. I've read all the Captain Americas and Iron Mans, and I've read all the Batmans. And, I keep up on over half of the line at Marvel and DC just through the trade paperbacks. And partly the reason I do that is because, I don't know, over the years, I started collecting comics in 99, and back then it was the collector market. And, throughout the 90s, early 90s, you wanted to get those collectible issues and they were going to be worth money. And as you grow up and you realize this hobby that we love, it's really few and far between those comics that actually truly grow value. Most of the comics, if you go to a comic book store now, anything you bought in the past 20, 30 years, they're going to give you a quarter or 50 cents for it, So there's really not a lot of value in the comic books that we buy. Plus, the reason I don't buy as much is also just because of space. Downstairs, I have 23 long boxes full of comics, and I'm running out of places to put them. I had this nice little rack my dad built for me 20 years ago, and but occasionally, because I only have so much space, occasionally I have to do like a purge of the books that I have to make space for all the things I currently physically buy. So occasionally I'll do purges. I went a few years ago and sold off my whole Uncanny X-Men line on eBay. I had from about like issue 110 all the way through about like 480 or something like that, where I sold all those on eBay just to make some space because I wasn't really feeling the X-Men comics anymore. Even though I still do read a lot of X-Men comics, don't really buy them anymore. I just like to stay up on what's going on. One of the other things I like about my library is that it allows me to test a lot of series that I, just curiosity. And like the other day, I got the Domino series, the recent trade paperback, the Domino miniseries for Marvel. And I'm glad I didn't buy it because about an issue and a half into the trade, I said, this is not worth my time. I'm not digging on this so much. So I'm glad I saved my money on that one. But, at the same time, the library is also a way to discover series that I never would have taken a chance on just because I'm a little bit cheap in that way and I'm trying to save space for my collection. So, for example, Jason Aaron's Scalped series. I heard about that one from Vertigo. Went back and got all those trades from the library, and that series blew me away. I thought it was amazing. So, something like that, which really gets a grip on me and really takes hold, I'll go buy it and buy the physical issues. I actually went back for Jason Aaron's Scalped. I went back and bought those nice. There were about 5 hardcovers that collected the whole 60-issue series, and that was, I love that. That's just a beautiful thing sitting on my shelf. So it'll. And if there's something that really clicks in with me, I'll buy it because I want to own. But that's kind of the thing these days with comics is that I have these 23 long boxes of comics that, I've collected over almost 30 years. And how I ask myself, how often do I actually go back and read those? They are just sitting there taking up space. I like that I own some of them, but, I'm starting to lose that whole I gotta have it feeling. Gotta collect them all. It's not like Pokemon or anything. I'm happy with just reading the story, enjoying it, and then moving on to the next thing. I don't feel the need to actually own as much comics as I used to. It's kind of the same way with like DVDs and stuff like that. I used to have still have a huge DVD collection, but it's not growing like it used to. I used to be buying DVDs all the time because I love these movies and I'd pore over the special features. But as you grow up and you have kids, you just have less time. And, I just want to go watch a movie, enjoy it, and then move on to the next thing. So I probably buy 3 or 4 DVDs a year now. Mostly they're just like the Marvels or something. So as that whole little diatribe I've gone on, so I would just recommend that any of you guys, if you're, you know, hesitant on buying something, look into your local library. They will probably have a lot of these books, and you can easily get a taste of them without having to buy them. I know that sounds kind of antithetical to, you know, the point of this whole previews podcast this month, you know, trying to encourage people and see what they buy, but there's a lot of stuff that's out there that's just not worth it, you know, and especially this is an expensive hobby at $3.99 a book for a whole 10 minutes of entertainment. I mean, that gets pretty darn expensive after a while. So I highly encourage you guys to go check out your libraries. My library also has a digital service called Hoopla, where you can get a lot of books digitally too. Every library is different. My library lets me check out 5 books a month digitally. Some others have 10, but I'd also look into that one too. So anyway, that's all I've got for the reasons I collect and what I read. So back to you guys. I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else has to say. Thanks. Bye.
Speaking of the comic book page, my old co-host over there, John Mayo, is asking some questions for his January spotlight show where a listener sent in clips. And I thought I would ask those questions to you, Kyle, and
all get right,
your input on that. And it's all about comic collecting, because a lot of people are cutting back, it seems. Mm. And he's interested in what other people's habits are in their comics. So, first question is, how do you pick what you get?
A lot of it is just what sounds really interesting or really original to me. So, that is a lot of how I pick, like, new books to jump on, too, is I do look through the previews. I do look for interesting things. I do have certain, of course, you know me, I have certain artists and writers that I'll gravitate towards. But if there's a good hook to it, I will usually venture out if it's something that scratches an itch I already like.
That's cool. And then, of course, you have Nightwing.
And then, of course, if my boy Richie is in there.
What's your limiting fact? Money, time, interest, space?
It should be all of those things, but unfortunately, I haven't been looking at space, but I am just covered in books at the moment. Time. I don't have time to read as many books as I would like to read. So a lot of times when I'm looking through a previews, I've been like, this one isn't worth my time, or this one isn't worth the extra, because I know I just have a stack of things I really already know I like that I'm not always getting to, that sometimes jumping on something new, time is just too big of a factor.
So the interest is there, you just don't have the time to do it.
Correct.
Okay. How would you define or describe your comic collecting?
Unorganized at the moment. I do have my niches that I go for. I still have my long runs of my ongoing Walking Dead series and my Saga series and, you know, my continuation of Nightwing and the Teen Titans thing. So I still continue to have my babies that are just kind of near and dear to me that I continue to get through, but I bounce back and forth. My loyalties are nowhere where they used to be, whereas usually, like, even in the New 52, if I started a series, I would just kind of keep it regardless, but now I'm way more willing to drop a series. But if you look through my collection, there's a lot of, three of a kind issues of certain things. I like to make a leap at something 3 books at a time. Normally, a lot of things that went through essentially just the first 6 issues, the first arc, if you will, and then I quit on, but all over the place as far as publishers.
What sort of criteria gets something off your reading?
Price. I don't like these $9 books, $10 books, $6 books, $5 books. You know me. I'm much less likely to jump onto a book if it's for the first issue is $5. I don't like that. So really does sometimes. I just move right along on it. Another thing is, you know, if you inadvertently take a 6-month hiatus between book 3 and 4, I'm gone. You got to have story momentum in that early. So that will knock me off every single time. And then, you know, sometimes it's just the art starts to bother me and I'll just quit a title.
How do you maintain, store, and organize your collection?
Short boxes, all short boxes. I built myself a nice wood shelf that holds 20 short boxes. And then I can actually stash long boxes behind each one on those shelves. That's bulk books and the long boxes behind. And then for the most part, everything is by publisher, alphabetical.
Everything, Kyle?
Hypothetically, the stuff that's on my shelf is like that. Right now, the unfortunate thing is the processing boxes of things that I've yet to go back through.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Ultimately, that's how you would maintain and store and organize your complete collection.
No. If you go into my extra room, it has the comic shelves. Those are actually all perfectly organized. It's in my cave here that where it starts to become meticulously disheveled.
That's really cool. My limiting factor is also time.
Yeah.
I have I have lots of interests, lots and lots of comics, more so than I have time to read. So it's really, money's not really a problem, not that I'm independently wealthy, but because I'm a podcaster, I get review copies, review PDFs of pretty much every indie comic out there. So, you know, like everything from beyond, not the big two, I don't get Marvel and DC previews, copies very often, occasionally I do, but not very often. But everything from Image on in previews, I pretty much get a review copy, or can. Mm-hmm. So I read 100% digitally, so, you know, those I read on my iPad, and I can read any of those that strike my fancy. I just run out of time between 1 week to the next, and, you know, then the new books are out, so then I kind of stop. So I read all the stuff that is really cool and that I really want to read or that I've historically read, and then move on. I describe my comic collecting as, you know, I want to sell my comics. I don't want to keep my physical comics that I buy. So I like to read them. I like to read them digitally, and I still buy print stuff, but I really ideally would like to, and I kind of do this, I maintain a separate from like the household money that my wife and I share. I have a slush fund, a comic book slush fund, that is perpetuated by selling comics, and that's where my comic book sales money goes, and that's where the money to buy comics comes. So it kind of stays away from like my regular, you know, ideally I'd like to, that would be cool if that continued to grow, but that is continuing to dwindle because I'm not selling as much as I'm bringing. So, but it still has more money in it than I have coming out. So it hasn't ever got to the point where I have to cut into my regular household. That's kind of the plan, is my comic collection pays for itself perpetually. I don't know if that can happen, if that can last for. So at some point I have to decide, you know, what do I do? Do I start, you know, not paying the light bill so I can buy comics? I don't know. That'd be kind of crazy. But yeah, I love to read comics. I don't like to keep comics. I don't like the space they take up. And I no longer enjoy the collating and organizing and, you know, putting them in numerical order and coveting the full runs like I used to. I don't care about that anymore. I do still like to have books, and I have a small curated collection of comics that I have had personalized and signed to me by the creators that I like. So, you know, they sign them to Drew, and I have those on my wall, and those I will keep forever. Everything else is off, you know, it can be sold, and on eBay or at a yard sale or a flea market or a con or something like that. So, and I don't have the connection to the comic.
Yeah, the more books I get, the less attached I am to any.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of, because you get more books, you're like, I don't want these. I will run out of space. So I'll skip to the maintaining, storing, and organizing. I currently originally had it organized like it's all in short boxes. I have very few long boxes left, because I like to be able to lift short boxes a little easier. Mm-hmm. And I do by publisher, art, title, and merit. What I'm moving toward is I'm going to be organizing them by price. So I will be pulling out my high-priced books and have those in a section, and then they will be organized by probably just off. And then I will have, you know, like $20 books, $10 books, $5 books, dollar books, and so that I can organize them that way, so that when I want to go to a con, they're already ready to go and priced and ready, and I can just grab them. So that's the way I'm going forward. That's the way I'm, which is a little different than most, but kind of like a comic book shop, you know, in some of their areas. For something to get on my reading list or off my reading list, to get on my reading list, it's, you know, word of mouth. If it's not something that I've always read Batman, I've always read Spider-Man. So those are kind of my favorite characters that I'll always read their book. And then I have niche characters that I really like Knight, you know, that every time they make an attempt at a volume, I will be there. One of the tens of thousands. Well, wait, just maybe single digit thousands that are reading it by the time it's over. But then there, I just kind of like, if I hear something's good, like we heard Thanos was really good, you know, and I checked that out. I don't usually read. I wouldn't normally read something like that, but we heard it was great. I started reading it and loved it. And so it doesn't take much prodding for me to sample something. And then if it hooks, then it's on my reading list. I used to have a longer lead for stuff to get off my reading. So I would read something, and if it wasn't very good, I'd say, well, let me give it an arc, you know, so a trade's worth, so 6 issues, to see if it hooks me. I don't do that anymore. If a couple of issues are bad, I just assume I'll check back later when they get through whatever they're doing that's not working for me. Unless it's a Batman or a Spider-Man who I stick through the highs and lows with. But some of the other characters, I won't. The other, especially superhero comic. If they're boring, I'm bouncing. And I might check back later if word of mouth said it's better. People are in. As far as Image, I read a lot of Image. So it's one of my, you know, kind of gateway publishers. Got me back into comics. Was with Wit Walking Dead. So I've read a ton of Image. Pretty much every number one that comes out, I read. I do read every number one that's out. And then I usually stick with a lot of. So I was all in on Image for a while, but now I'm probably a half to 75% of there. Then when it comes to some of the other publishers, it's just basically sampling number ones that appeal to me. And if they stick, they stick, and until they don't. And I'll read them until I'm not enjoying them anymore, and then I'll move on to something else. So it's just kind of whims and how I feel about a thing at a certain time. So those are our answers for Comics for Fun and Profit. I thought that was fun.
Absolutely. Those are cool questions.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Alan, Alien Al 121 on the forums, and I'm living here in Japan, and this is my submission for this month's preview spotlight, and I'm sending my one clip because, I thought it'd be good. Since I'm usually a regular contributor to the preview spotlight, I figured, I should go ahead and do this. I'll try to keep it to 10 minutes like I did with the last one for October. All right, so the question was that John wants us to answer was about our comic collecting, and first question was, what is your limiting factor when you're collecting comics, I guess? And the options were money, time, interest, space. And for me, all of those interact. And because I probably could get a lot more comics than I do now, but I don't have the space and I'm not interested in everything. And I might not have the time. Especially now since I have, you know, my workload has been increased over this past year. So I'm still getting the same amount of comics, but my comic reading has sort of changed. I just read them like when I get up in the morning or before I go to bed at night. So none of this taking comics to work and reading them in my free time, because I really don't have that much free time anymore. Money is, I sort of have a self-imposed approximately $100 limit each month, and I'm still using DCBS, so I get a discount on those comics, so I can spend the $100, but my shipping is about $60 a month. So really, I mean, I'm still saving, but, you know, a lot of that money, a lot of those savings I lose because of shipping. So I try to keep it to $100 a month. Interest, yeah, there's sometimes I do lose interest. And time is, you know, I have time right now. As long as I keep my early morning and late night schedule. Usually I read about 3 or 4 in the morning and maybe 1 or 2 at night. Next question. In a nutshell, how do you define or describe your comic collecting? Well, I would say eclectic, though, I mean, probably, let's say I get, so because I spend $100, I usually get about 40 comics a month. And I would say maybe, let's say 12 of those are Marvel, 12 of those are DC, maybe a little bit less, 10 DC. And then the rest are kind of spread among Dark Horse, Image, Abstract Studio, who else? IDW, and not much else. Most of them are the prestige publishers, and I don't really go looking for other ones unless I hear a book is really good. And I don't collect to speculate, really. I just collect for the story, kind of like John. Though, after listening to Drew's podcast a while, I'm thinking, wow, you know, I should probably get into speculating more. But since I'm in Japan, it's a little harder because I would have to pay for shipping to send people or to, you know, sell those things on eBay. So it's like, I don't think I'm ready to get into that yet. What sort of criteria gets something on or off your reading list? Yeah, there's a lot of things there. I would say one is if they stop printing letters in their letter section. Like there's several months now I've been writing Avengers. They ask for emails or responses or reactions to the story, but they haven't printed any letters for several months now. And so I'm like, I think I feel like I want to just drop them, because why am I spending time writing emails to them if they're not going to print anything? The story, of course, also, you know, if I get bored with it, trying to think of something I've dropped. Well, I dropped a lot of DC titles because I just got kind of bored with it. That Green Lanterns and Green Lantern Corps I dropped. Flash I dropped. Wonder Woman I dropped. Several, yeah, I dropped. Marvel, there have been a couple, but I can't remember. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy I dropped even before they canceled it. Oh, Black Panther I dropped because I said, what? Why is this future outer space Black Panther? Why is this interesting? I don't get it. So I just dropped it. So interest is a big deal. Price is not really consideration yet because of the DCBS discounts. And the last question, how do you maintain, store, and organize your collection? Well, basically right now, I say every 3 to 6 months, I organize. Otherwise, I just try to keep things in alphabetical piles. So after I finish reading a title, I just put it in its designated pile. So I have them A through Z, and ones would start with numbers. Actually, the ones would start with numbers, I just put it in the, like, number one goes, if it's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of one, 2000 AD or something, it would go in the T stack. And then after, say, 3 to 6 months, if I see, oh yeah, this is getting a little bit, the piles are getting a little too high, so then I start separating them and putting them in their designated boxes, which are also A through Z. And this does not mean that I have 26 long boxes. It means that I have some letters that are sharing boxes, like Q and P are probably together. U and V and W are probably together. So, and yeah, I'm using long boxes, and I just, I have my, in Japan here in my apartment, I have my futon shelf, which is used for storing bedding, but I just store my long boxes in there. And I think it's like 8 across the top, 8 across the bottom. And I can just, you know, it's pretty, you know, goes from the floor to the ceiling. So, and there's one long shelf in the middle. And I just have 8 boxes there and 8 boxes at the bottom. If I have to put the bedding inside, I just put the tops on the long boxes and put the bedding on top of that. And, you know, if I have to get to the comics, it's no problem, really. The bedding's not so heavy. And I just keep them alphabetically. I'm not worried about bagging and boarding, stuff like that. I'm not, because I'm not in for speculation collecting. I'm just in for reading. And I'm finding that, you know, it seems like they're in pretty good condition because they're fairly deeply stacked. So, and if I sold them, it would probably just be for readers' copies anyway. So, you know, I would sell things for cheap. Okay, I think that's about it. I'm under 10 minutes. I'm not sure who would be interested in my answers. They seem pretty bland to me. But I have enjoyed talking about it, and I'll look forward to hearing other people's answers. All right, talk to you later. See you next month.
Dr. Mo here to share my answers to the questions that John posed for the preview spotlight episode 135. Question number one, what is your limiting factor? Money, time, interest, space. For me, it's all of the above. I'm trying to be a semi-responsible adult with my money, and I tend to value making quality purchases of quantity, especially in the last few years. And also, lately, I've kind of felt this need to plug holes in titles that I stopped purchasing years ago. Specifically, I've been picking up back issues of Peter David's Young Justice title from the late 90s, early 2000s. 2000s in anticipation of the new Young Justice series that Brian Michael Bendis is going to be launching in January 2019 and the return of the Young Justice cartoon that will be on the DC streaming service. Question number two, in a nutshell, how do you describe your comic collect? For me, I used to be all in on certain families of titles like X-Men. However, in recent years, I tend to collect an assortment of titles based on several criteria, including characters, creative teams, shipping frequency, number of titles in a family, genre, price, and potential length of the series. So for example, I'm willing to sample Dynamite's upcoming Peter Cannon Thunderbolt series because A, the writer, Kieran Gillen, B, it's a superhero title. Most of the things I like to purchase are in the superhero genre. C, it's considered a mini series, or at least it is according to the creative team. Question number three, what sort of criteria gets something on or off your reading list? Since I focused on the first portion of this question in my previous response, I'm going to focus on the latter portion, what gets something off my reading list. For me, creative team switches can signal the end of my run, or at least the end of my purchasing that title, especially for characters I'm sort of lukewarm on. I always tend to buy at least one Batman title. I always tend to buy one or two X-Men titles, but which X-Men or Batman title can switch depending on the creative team, because there's so many options. Whereas the case of something like Legion of Superheroes, I'm just really happy that there's a Legion of Superheroes book, and unless it's something like the Legion Lost series that was launched at the beginning of the New 52, I tend to pick up a Legion title, regardless of the creative team. Renumbering can also impact my decision to stay on a title or drop a title. Again, I see it in the same vein as a creative team switch. Renumbering causes me to reevaluate whether or not I'm enjoying this title. I remember specifically in the 90s, there were creative team switches with Uncanny X-Men and X-Men post Claremont, in which Scott Lobdell and Fabian Nicieza came on board. But because they didn't renumber, and they just kept going, I maintained the habit. Too many crossovers can also impact my enjoyment of a title and may cause me to drop a title, whether it's either temporarily or permanently. For me, it really boils down to how the creative team handles the crossover. When Peter David was writing the X-Factor title, specifically during his second run, in which it was X-Factor Investigations, he often had to deal with crossovers. He danced around it. He somehow continued the main subplots while making sure it was a crossover issue. I didn't mind that, so I continued buying that series. Question number four, how do you maintain, store, and organize your collection? These days, I rely upon short boxes that can fit on some shelving. I do have some long boxes. Long boxes, I tend to keep them in this storeroom. I'm currently in the process of actually going through my comics and kind of paring down some things. So trading them or selling them, or maybe even donating some things. I just want to kind of curate my collection a little bit and just really focus on purchasing individual issues of titles that I'm really interested in enjoying, whether it's a mini or an ongoing, getting collected editions for some older titles that may be a little bit too expensive for me to purchase. And I also want to get some additional shelving for the trades and collections that I already have. Thank you, John, for providing this opportunity to share some insights into how I make purchasing decisions. Take care.
Hello, John, and other comic book page podcast and comic book page website enjoyers out there. This is JR Phoenix, also known as James. I am the co-host on the Comic Spotlight. And for the January previews, I wanted to tell you guys how I pick things, how things stay on my list, why do I like what I like, how do I go about it. Okay, I try to wait for my physical copy of previews to come in my order that is shipped from Cowabunga Comics. The first thing I do is I go through with a red pen, sight unseen. I try not to look ahead of time. The electronic previews no justice. The hard copy, you can see what companies are really highlighting. You can see sometimes preview art, which you do not get in the electronic view, so you need to have that hard copy. So I go through it and I put check marks next to things that are definitely I am getting this. Next to new things that I know I am getting it, I give it also a red check mark. Things that I'm questioning whether it's stuff that I've already bought in the past and I'm kind of iffy on, or things that are new but I just don't know much about them, I put a question mark next to it. The question mark, when I'm filling out my order, those are things that I go back to, whether it's a final sweep, and I'll go into that later about listening to some podcasts before I do my final sweep, and I have to do a little bit of research. And then I also go through, another thing that I do is I put X's on things that I want to make sure that I don't accidentally put onto my previous order that I'm dropping. When I'm reading comics, what I used to do, I used to be a DCBS customer. Now I'm a Cowabunga comic customer. DCBS, I use their pull list feature. I used to pull through all my comics. As I was reading, I would keep like the DCBS website open, and I would literally click things, uncheck them from my pull list so that I automatically didn't subscribe. Now, Cowabunga, I use a spreadsheet order form. So I keep a list. I basically have an email that I save in a draft format, and I kind of list out comics that I'm planning on dropping that either they didn't give me what I was looking for, or it was something that I thought would be good and it wasn't. I read it, it just didn't stick with me. Whatever it is, those things I'm dropping, I put the X next to them, and then they're done. From there, okay, so I have my checks and I have my question marks. I wait for the podcast to come out from the comic book page, which is the preview spotlight. I listen to people's recommendations. If someone is borderline and people are really enjoying it, sometimes that's enough to push me over the edge and keep it. Also in new things, if somebody highlights it and they sell it to me, that encourages me to keep the thing. But things that have a question mark where I'm questioning, do I really want this? I usually go to Comic Book Roundup. I look and see what general review scores have been giving. You know, something I've been like, man, this, it's not very memorable to me. And I go online, I'm like, maybe it's a little bit better. Maybe I'll give it some more time if people are giving it good reviews in general. If it's something that's getting mediocre reviews, which would be in yellow or red scored reviews, which means they're bad, I immediately drop it. It's not just me. It's the general comic book community is telling me this thing's not good. Get rid of it. So, besides the comic book page, believe it or not, I listen to Comic Geek Speak too, their little previews walkthrough. So those are the two things I listen to when I go through. Another thing that I do with the things that have a question mark, I go online, I go to Google, I search for art by the artist, I go to Comic Book Roundup, which I check the artists that are on there, and I also check the writers and try to see if this artist done something before that I've liked, or the art, the writer's done something before that I liked, and that can get it onto my list. Or if they're a brand new person and I can't find anything out on them, I get rid of them. But sometimes with the Google search, I'm able to find out that this is a new writer. I look a big thing that sells me a lot of the times, and which companies do not do enough of, is preview pages. Sometimes I'll put a question mark next to a new series that's coming out from, let's say, Image or Aftershock or whoever, and or it could be Marvel and DC. And if there's no preview pages or a sample, even 4 or 5 pages of what that story is going to be, right now, with as much money as I'm spending, it's probably not going to end up on my list. So I cut it as close to cutoff for the order form as I can to see if there are any preview pages come out from the different various, you know, news websites out there. And it's literally just a Google search, searching for something. Sometimes you can go into Amazon and even find old graphic novels that people have written. So I do research before I actually put something on the list. Now, when it comes to organization, I am ashamed to say I am probably the worst organized person out there. And I'm probably not the worst, but I feel like I am the worst. I have a core comic collection. Let's say it's 15 long boxes. Everything's alphabetized. It's good to go. Since that time, I have an ungodly amount of long boxes. I have probably 16,000-17,000 comics. Every one of those boxes is alphabetical order, but there's no rhyme or reason, and they're just stacking up. So you might have a long box which has 2.5 weeks worth of reading material or 3 weeks worth of reading material, and then another long box where stuff picks up for a different week. So it is completely out of control, so do not ask me about that. But John, I know with cutting back, a big thing you need to focus on, you do need to focus on the creators and not the characters. There are very few things that are character-based that get on my list. Yes, my favorites will stay on there. My favorites are Conan, The Incredible Hulk, Red Sonja, you know, that's more along the Conan line. And usually war comics are one of the stronger things if they come out in single issues. If it's not one of those things, I need preview pages, I need to see who's writing it, I need some kind of track record. If I don't get one of those things and nobody's recommending to it and selling me, it's not going to make it onto my pull list. So that's it, short and sweet. I just want to let you guys know kind of what I do. But that being said, I probably go through previews 3-4 times max, but usually it's about 3 times before I actually submit my order and finalize everything. And I drag my feet until the last day. So I'm interested to see what you guys do. And I'm looking forward to you know, your picks in the future, because the preview spotlight not coming out in January, some stuff may not make it through the month of January onto my list, stuff that was questionable. One other thing, though, I do look for cover art. Sometimes if there's an open-to-order variant like DC, I do go onto Google and I try to find out, you know, between the artists which one I like. So that is a big thing for me. If they leave it open to order, I pick the one that I like. I'm not a multiple cover guy. That is not something. So anyways, John, I hope you enjoy your trip. I'm really looking forward to hearing what the rest of you guys do to pick your favorite comics. And now I'm going to go record and mark down some stuff for my year-end spotlight that I'm recording with John. All right, take care, guys. And next month, I'm looking forward to your picks. Take care. Bye.
Hi, this is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special year-end preview spotlight submission. Very interesting little challenge that John has set up for us. And so let's get right to it. So how do I pick what I get in terms of comics? Well, at this point in my life, it's about reading. There's a limiting factor. It's money, time, space. But reading is key. It's what do I want to read? What writers and artists do I want to follow? What comic books do I want to keep up on? But I'm no longer, after 48 years of comic book collecting, I'm no longer at a point where I need to obsessively buy every issue of a comic book that I used to love, that I just no longer have fun reading. I've bought many a comic in my life. I've saved many a comic in my life, and I've sold many a comic in my life. I'm big on selling packages of comics on eBay now. After I had the reading pleasure, I sit back and I say, am I ever going to read this series again when I'm done with the series, or when the series ends? Even if I wasn't ready for it to end. And if I think no, or if I think, well, maybe I'm going to buy a compilation, a trade paperback, a hardcover, a huge compilation, well, then I'm going to sell it on eBay, and I'm going to give someone else a chance to have a nice package of comic books at a very reasonable price, because I don't expect to make tons of money anymore on collecting. I've sold all my real big collector item comics long ago, other than ones that I've held on to just because they've been special to me. So again, it's the writing and the reading and the money that matter the most. I cannot buy as much as I want to. How do I define my comic collecting? Well, in the old days, it was obsessive. I bought everything, but I was a kid, and then there was a period when, as an adult, I stopped for a short while, then I picked back up again, and then bought everything that I missed cheap at comic cons and read them and got rid of them. And am I going to read them again? If not, I just may not have the space. The criteria of what I keep on my list right now, it's almost as if I'm looking for a reason to jump off a series rather than remain on a series. I really enjoyed Dan Abnett's run on Aquaman that just completed. Now they're turning it over to a new writer, and the first storyline is going to be Aquaman with amnesia. I'm jumped off, and then I realize, you know what, I enjoyed that series, but I don't need to hang on to it. And I've sold my straight run of Dan Abnett Aquaman's already. It's already up on eBay and gone. Green Lanterns. I really enjoyed the Green Lantern Corps. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. It's finished. It's gone. It's sold. I enjoyed it, but I've got plenty of other things on my list to enjoy. Plenty of books on my shelves I haven't read yet. And so Green Lantern is gone and sold. And Grant Morrison, he didn't get me with issue one. He didn't get me with issue two. Reason to jump off. And I've leapt. Same with the recent Detective run. They changed writers, changed directions. Done. Nightwing got boring. Done. Southern Bees. You know what I mean by Southern Bees, everyone. Trying to keep this PG related. It's taking forever to come out. Afterlife of Archie. Is there ever going to be one again? Sabrina. I enjoyed them, but I don't enjoy the delays. Done. Gone. Sold. I've got a lot of comic books that I save on the shelves. I've got shelves and shelves of comic books But in terms of what I keep active, I have a couple of active long boxes. I have one long box for miniseries. But in reality, I've got about 8 to 10 boxes in a third car garage when we don't have a third car. So we do a lot of good storage in there. The 8 and 10 long boxes of things I've collected over the years and haven't gotten around to reading yet. You know, the complete Firestorm, the complete Batman and the Outsiders from a couple of decades ago. I've got things like that waiting for me to read. So I've got plenty to read. I don't need to keep buying nonstop. But what has really changed my comic book reading? Well, right now, ongoing-wise, I do buy from a comic shop, All About Books and Comics in Phoenix, Arizona. Great comic shop, great owners. I buy about 16 ongoing titles right now and about 12 miniseries. So miniseries are always ending, other ones are coming up. And I'll always give something a try, but if it doesn't catch me in an issue, it's got to really grab me. I don't have the patience if it doesn't grab me. Again, I've been collecting for 48 years. I'm old. And I don't have that patience anymore to read and buy things that I don't want to hang on to. So I've got those going. I have a couple in the Will They Ever Come Out Again? Invisible Republic, Low, Black Monday Murders, The Fix. You know, at some point, they've got to come back to me or else I'm going to be done with them. And then I always have a list of a couple that I'm trying. I'm back on Detective. I'm on the new Freedom Fighters. Give them an issue or two, see if I'm going to like them, see if I'm going to add them to my list. But what has really changed my reading in the past 3 years has been Marvel Unlimited. I have been a subscriber of Marvel Unlimited, just finished 3 years. With all of the reading that I do on Marvel Unlimited, I've come out to it's cost me less than 25 cents an issue. I think it was 25 cents an issue after the first 2 years. I think I'm below that with how much I've read on that since. I read a ton of Marvel. And why? Because of the Unlimited. And I really, if DC offered the same service, I would do the same. I can wait the 6 month span, or I think it's 6 month span between when the issue is released at the comic store to when I can get it on Marvel Unlimited. I have no problem with that. And I can read and read and read to my heart's content, catch up on things. In fact, there is one Marvel comic that I still buy at the store, and it's Thor. I've just loved Thor, even before Marvel Unlimited. Jason Aaron's Thor has been terrific, all the different iterations of that series. I know eventually it's going to come to an end. He's been building up to this big war between the realms, and when it ends, I think he's going to finally be dropping off of Thor, and I'm going to be left with all these huge hard copies of Thor comic books, and guess what I'm probably going to do with them? Be on the lookout if you want them, because they're going to go at a real good price. But for now, I just haven't been able to bear stopping to buying those issues of Thor, and so I buy them. So when I say that I'm currently collecting 16 ongoings and a dozen miniseries, well, that's what I'm collecting from buying at my comic book shop. But I've got tons and tons and tons of other comic goodness to read that I will, as we all lament, never get to all of it in a lifetime. But I enjoy it. I will always enjoy it. Every decade, it's a different way of collecting for me, and this is the way that I do it. And wow, this was a long recording. I hope a lot of people go a lot longer than me, because I feel guilty now about how much time I took up. Hope everyone had a great holiday season, and talk to you next year.
Hi guys, this is Jason from Minnesota. I don't really have a catch aloha like Jason from Hawaii. All we really say in Minnesota is don't you know, or oofda, catchy little Norwegian phrase, surprise or bafflement. This is my first submission to the preview spotlight, which has a different format. John asked us to answer different questions about how we pick what we get, our limiting factors, etc. Basically, a comic will make it on my order if it starts with an X or is X-Men related. Also, Transformers and G.I. Joe are immediate must-haves for me, as well as The Walking Dead. Trade paperback twice a year for my wife. Also, I ordered Batman, Detective, JLA, Green Arrow, and Walking Dead monthly for my son Tyler. He's the only one out of our four boys that has any interest in in comics, let alone reading. My limiting factors are primarily money, space. I also purchase back issues, that e-comic purchase. Space is also an issue, as my wife wants to downsize our housing after the kids are all moved out in years. This means I've got about 40 long boxes of non-essential comics to sell and give away. For a comic to make it on my list, I just need it to be interesting to me. I love science fiction and horror, and titles like Port of Earth, Oblivion Song, Gideon Falls, and Walk Through Hell always have a home, you know, long box. As far as dropping titles, that's something I really need to work on. Once I've started a title, I usually complete it, because I sell most of them off after I've read them. Also, with most titles only running 4 to 6 issues these days, I've usually pre-ordered the third issue by the time I've read the first. As far as maintaining my collection, I just finally got a comic book room when our oldest son moved out over the summer. I'm in the process of sorting, selling, rebagging several of it, probably about 12,000 comics. I keep them all in long box, and they're all bagged and boarded. Some of my old prized issues are in Mylars, and I also have a few CGC-graded issues. I tend to stay away from them. I actually like to open some of my comics once in a while. That's all I really got this month. I plan on making this a habit, Sibinic Monthly. I'd also like to thank John for all of his hard work on doing all that he does, as well as the people. I look forward to hearing what all of you guys have to say. Thanks.
Hi, John. So the question this month is, how do I handle my comic book collection? That's an interesting question. About 12, 13 years ago, I decided that it was taking up too much room, and I got rid of everything. Probably only about 6,000 or 7,000 comics, but I got rid of them all. And then, lo and behold, I started picking them up again. I continued to read right along, but then I started going to shows and conventions, and I picked up more and more back issues. And so now I'm back up to, about 6,000 or 7,000 back issues and a few hundred trades. And as I'm reading those, I'm actually getting rid of them. As I read them, I pass them along to my niece, and I do that with my monthly books too. I'm a subscriber with Cowabunga Comics. I have been since last February. I've been a long-time subscriber to DCBS before that. I also get a lot of stuff from the library, which is very handy. I wish we had Hoopla, but we don't. And I subscribe to Marvel Unlimited and Comixology Unlimited, and I do a lot of purchasing of Image and Dynamite and that sort of thing from Comixology. So in my Comixology account, I've probably got 2,000 or 3,000 comics, and then, of course, with Marvel, I've got everything they've ever made. Pretty much, which makes storing them very easy. But as I say, I don't keep them. I pass them along to my niece, and my goal is to eventually move my entire back issue collection just out of the house. Just read it up and move it on. And that's pretty much how I handle the paper part of my collection. Now, I've also got statues and figures that are in my comic cave, which my lovely wife Nancy is more than willing to accommodate for me. So that's good. So that's pretty much, John, how I handle my collection. I know it's so different than the way a lot of you do it. But being that I am what some of you yearn to be, I'm retired, and I'm recognizing at some point somebody's going to have to take care of all this stuff. I figure I'll help them out and start moving it along, because there's really nothing that I've got that's worth any money. It's just worth reading, and that's what I really enjoy doing. And I enjoy listening to your podcast, John, you and James and Sam and TJ and Eric now on the Comic Spotlight. It's very entertaining, and I enjoy the time I spend with you guys. I also want to thank Eric for starting the Slack channel. I've had a real good time with that this year. So I just want to wish everybody a happy new year and happy collecting. Take care. Oh, and I never told you, but this is Chris from Troy, New York. Take care.
Hi, this is Bronze Age Paul with a recording for the Preview Spotlight 135 for January. This is a special one, so thanks, John, for doing this. Interesting topic. I'm looking forward to listening to it. First question, how do you pick what you get? Well, there's some things I've been getting for, 30 or 40 years. I'm 52. And, Spider-Man, Batman, Detective, those types of comics. And so I get all of those. Generally enjoy them. Other new stuff, I basically go by what I'm enjoying and reading. I'm lucky enough that I usually sponsor a table at buy a table at a local comic show. So if there's something I don't like, I can usually you know, put it in my to-sell stock and get rid of it that way. But I generally read what I like. In terms of picking up back issues, I buy back issues at shows and when I visit comic shops. And those, you know, I have some long-running collections that I can continue to go backwards in, you know, Batman, so forth. Well, I finished Justice League, but others, still missing a couple Amazing Spider-Mans, not too many. And then there are others that I'll, since those are expensive, I can only get them every once in a while. I also have been recently picking up sort of Bronze Age, you know, short-run comics. One I enjoyed recently was called Starfire. It's an eight-issue series in the 70s, not the Starfire, you know, but an older version of it. Things like that, picking up some unexpected and that kind of stuff, which is I didn't really buy when I was a kid. The limiting factor, well, for me, is definitely time and interest. I have enough space. I have a room in the basement. That's my comic room. I have a way that I can get rid of some things, and I don't want it. How do I describe my comic collecting? I primarily read because I like them, but I do collect for. You know, I've got a little obsessive compulsive, and I do collect full runs. I'm not a key only collector, although of course I have many key issues. You know, I have very long runs. I'm collecting in the 80s, not the 1980s, but the number 80s for Batman. So I have, you know, 700 straight issues of Batman, that kind of stuff. But I generally read current stuff that I enjoy and collect back issues to continue to move back in the sets and complete some sets, like I completed Justice League and almost on Spider-Man and things like that, Brave and the Bold. And what sort of criteria gets something on or off your reading list? I think I covered that. And how do I maintain, store, and organize my collection? That's a good one. I have in my comic room, I have some shelves that I built or had built that are perfect size for short boxes. I have transitioned entirely to short boxes just because as I'm, you know, I'm in my early 50s now, it's getting harder and harder to pick those long boxes up. So all my, you know, significant collections all in short boxes. And what I do is I go online and Google images and I find the logos and I print them out on stickers, and I'm able to print like an Amazing Spider-Man or a Batman or Superman or Detective or World's Finest or whatever onto a sticker, and I stick that on the box, and that's how I know pretty much what's in there. And sometimes I'll write, you know, what numbers, you know, because those, a lot of those titles take up more than many, you know, several boxes. So I'll say, you know, numbers, you know, 100 to 300 or whatever. And maintain. I also, finally, last thing, I use a database called Comic Base from Human Computing. I've been using that for a number of years. It's a little more expensive than some of the other comic book databases out there, like CLZ, which is an app, which is more, you know, but it's pretty much got everything I need on it. My whole collection's on there. You know, when you have like 25,000 comics, you need to keep it on a database. You know, got a little heft to it. It's a little glitchy from time to time, but it's overall a really good product. Thanks, John, for letting everybody record these things. I'm really looking forward to hearing everybody's answers to these questions. And Happy New Year, everybody.
Hey, everyone. This is Eric from Cowabunga Comics, jumping on to kind of throw in my two cents on the Preview Spotlight 135 for January. And first of all, before I get too far, I just want to wish everybody a very happy new year. Hopefully, regardless of how your 2018 ended out, hopefully 2019 treats you all very well. And I'm personally looking forward to this year. We've got some big things in store for Cowabunga, as well as the mail order business, and just looking forward to getting those things going. So, but without any more delay, let's get to the questions that John threw out there for this Preview Spotlight. So the big question is, how do you pick what you get? What is your limiting factor? Money, time, interest, space. So for me, I obviously go all over the board. I try and get as much of a broad base as possible. I don't read a ton, but I page through a lot. That may not make sense, but basically what it means is I'll page through almost everything I get. I just don't sit down and have the time to read it in depth cover to cover. So what really limits me, I guess, tends to be things like space and interest. Those two things tend to do a good job of taking care of money, and time I don't have any of. So the way that I look at it is there are very specific creators that no matter what they put out, I will take a chance on it. For me personally, those creators would be Ed Brubaker, Garth Ennis, Brian K. Vaughan, Brian Wood. Those are kind of the main ones that I go to. There are some that I don't really enjoy all that much, or I find myself getting more frustrated by their writing, such as Tom King. He is a writer that is so hit and miss for me that I just tend to wait and kind of see how things turn up. So that's pretty much how I pick what I'm going to get. The space component of it is actually really interesting because I hit a breaking point where I had so many boxes of things laying around in my basement in my office that I just needed to come up with a solution. So previously I had two completely mismatched bookshelves in my office, and I decided that it was time to get rid of those and get something new. So my wife and I took our maiden voyage to IKEA because we now have one in Wisconsin. And yes, being 32 and 33 years old, it probably seems weird that this is the first time we've ever purchased or even set foot in an IKEA store, but it was a great time. I ended up buying four bookcases, and over the last 4 days have actually put them all together and have most of my collected editions on them. The other piece of space, I started building a hyper over-engineered 2x4 construction shelf for my short boxes because I was starting to take up too much space in our storage room, and my wife never complained about it, but I just felt bad. So I limit myself to about 20 short boxes, and as I go, I replace and replenish, and you know, I'll read certain things, and I will then take them to the store, and we'll put them out in the, you know, back issue bins and whatnot. And then as I go along to conventions and pick up certain books that I like, that I want to keep, that are either investment books for me or just books that I like to have as many of as I can get, those kind of go into a short box that stays on the side, or I guess a couple short boxes now. But I try and keep myself limited to 20 short boxes. And why the number 20? It seems like an awfully large number. 20 represents how many short boxes I can fit on the shelf that I'm building. And I found my collection right now can swell anywhere up to 22 short boxes and down to 14 short boxes, just depending on what I'm doing, what I'm getting rid of, what I have. So it's really 20 seems to be the sweet spot for me. I find that it does a couple of things. Number one, it prevents me from buying too much. And number two, it really makes me think about what is it that I really like. I mean, ultimately, I like consuming the product as much as I can. But at the end of the day, there are certain things that I will never get rid of. And there are some things that I really don't have that deep of a personal connection to. I just wanted to read it and support it in single issue form. So that's kind of how I handle my purchasing and what limits me. And how do I describe my comic collecting? I tend to be a completist in the sense that if I start a run, I like to finish it. But if I'm not enjoying it, I'm not afraid to just stop cold turkey. And unfortunately, once I stop, I don't come back unless if there's a big change. So if there is a creator change on Batman, I will definitely pick up the single issues again. As long as Tom King is writing, I won't. Just the way I am. It's kind of one of those fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you. And it doesn't happen anymore after that. And additionally, I collect what my wife tells me she wants as well. So every month, my wife and I sit down and look at previews. We go through and see what's going on. She circles the things that she's interested in, and then I make sure I order those for her. And she and I both have kind of a wide array. We read single issues, we read collected editions, and we read manga. Obviously, her manga choices are a little bit different than mine. She tends to go towards a little bit more of the romance and slice of life type stuff, and I tend to go more towards the action adventure type stuff. But we do kind of have a fun balance and find that having something to break it up does actually, it makes the hobby more enjoyable. So overall, though, I do try and collect complete runs of things as I can because I find that I like the full story, but then it also makes it easier to sell when you're trying to sell everything. If there's no major keys in it, it's just easy to say, you know, 1 through 60 and it's done. What sort of criteria gets something on or off your reading list? For me, I care about both the art and the story. Ultimately, the story has to hold me. If the story is bad, I'm done. I'm not jumping back on. The art I have a little bit more freedom with, but if the art is hard to look at, then I have to take a step back and say, okay, this is a visual and word-based medium. And if the visual isn't there, that's half the storytelling. So why would I pay full price for something I'm only getting half of the enjoyment out of? So I'll let it go. Likewise, though, there are some things that if the art is really, really good, I may pick it up. I don't know. It just depends. Certainly, I will admit that I am prone to purchasing things based on covers. I don't get too deep into the variants just because it's just not something that I have the capacity and willingness to get too big into the buying, selling of that kind of stuff. So I don't personally get too big into the variants. We get a number of them in the store, but very few make it into my my personal collection that aren't open to order. It tends to be things like Art Germ, Jenny Frizen, folks like that. I just really like the covers and I get them. Michael Allred, I get any book that he's got a non-variant or non-ratio variant cover on, I always pick that up. I love his art. So that's kind of what gets how things can get on. Additionally, if people tell me like, oh, this is really good, then I will definitely pick it up. John and James are very good at providing me with things that I should read that I may not have read in the past. Or there's other things where I'll just, I'll find it, I'll stumble onto it and really enjoy it. And one of those things for me is Zenoscope's Revenge of Wonderland. I hadn't read any of the Wonderland titles. Zenoscope kind of, I'm not going to say I had formed an opinion in my mind, because if I had formed an opinion, I would have never tried the book, but the covers versus the interiors of the books are very different, so I didn't really pay them too much mind. However, as I kind of was reading the solicit to Revenge of Wonderland, I thought, well, you know what, heck, let's give it a shot and try it. And I read the first issue and I was hooked. So now I'm trying to work my way back a little bit in the Wonderland titles. I don't have a lot of time to read too deep on anything, so I haven't really gotten very far, but that's something that I was actually pretty excited to find out and read. So I'm looking forward to that. Trying to think what else here. I don't think there's really anything else. It's word of mouth gets it on, new creator gets it on, or character that I love gets it on. Oh, Martian Manhunter. I love Martian Manhunter. I really am not the biggest Steve Orlando fan, but I really love Martian Manhunter. So I picked the Martian Manhunter number one issue up, and I couldn't get past the first three pages, and I was absolutely done. I just, to me, his writing is terrible. The art was horrible. Characterization was bad. It was just very disappointing. So that went off my reading list very quickly. And then the Maintain, Store, and Organize, I kind of talked about that. I have bookshelves now, and actually I have four bookshelves, two of which are Marvel, but one of the Marvel shelves has my manga on it. And then I have one shelf that's dedicated to independence, so Image on down through the back of the catalog. And then the other one is DC. Vertigo doesn't really fit on my DC shelf. I have too much DC, so the Vertigo has also snuck its way onto one of the two Marvel shelves. And that's about it. So hopefully you, like I said, you all had a wonderful end of 2018. 2019 kicks off in a good way for you. And as always, if there's ever anything I can do, please reach out and let me know. Otherwise, I look forward to hearing what everybody else has to say about these topics, and hopefully jumping on another episode with Sam and John to discuss monthly numbers for the single issues in the near future. Thanks, everyone. Have a great 2019.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. If you guys hear some firecrackers in the background, I am literally recording this on New Year's Eve. So Happy New Year, or a haole makiho. Alright, so let's get started with these questions. So how do you pick what you get? Basically, for me, it's like, you know, I'll pick up comic books that I've already loved since I was a kid. You know, basically I'll pick up the Spider-Man, the Batman, the Superman, you know, those types of comics. Also too, it's like, you know, in the last few years, I started to pick up the previews magazine. So, you know, I would go through that. And whatever, if the cover page in the previews magazine catches my eye, and if the solicitation sounds pretty good, you know, I'll check it out. You know, I'll go to Dragon's Lair and you know I'll pick it up from there. The other thing that helps me a lot is the preview spotlight episodes. Basically, it's like, and this is a shameless plug for listeners who have not submitted clips to the preview spotlight episodes, I encourage you guys to do that, because that's how some stuff, you know, get on my pull list. It's just to, you know, listening to what you guys recommend. So, you know, that's one thing, you know, I do is, you know, it's like, if something sounds pretty good in a previous spotlight episode, you know, I'll give it a shot. So, you know, that's basically, you know, how I, you know, pick my comics. It's like, you know, basically the comics that I, you know, have been loved growing up, checking out the previous magazine, and also basically word of mouth. So basically those are the three things that kind of guide me on how I pick my comics. So let's get on to the next question. What is your limiting factor? Money, time, interest, or space? So there are a couple of things that are limited to me. Like, you know, I try to stick into a comic book budget every month. I try. 2019, I'm going to get back on track, because, you know, I'm going to subscribe to the Marvel Unlimited and really cut down on my impulse buys, or, you know, if it's things I can wait and read on the Marvel Unlimited app from Marvel Comics, that I'll do. The other thing that limited to me is also space, so that's why I'm also cutting back. And then also too, you know, I'm kind of thinking,
No, not really. I don't have time enough at last. So another big factor is time as well. So, you know, honestly, it's like, you know, I buy, you know, comics, enough comics, but unfortunately I just can't, you know, I try to find the time to read comics. So that's another big limiting factor is time as well. So, let me see. Let's go on to the next question, which is, I believe it's like, you know, how to describe my, collection. Basically, my collection is, you know, how I, you know, basically what it is that it's just whatever comics I buy. And if, you know, basically, like I always believe the comics that I buy, I believe like 95% of them I just read and I give it away. If I see something on one of the websites, the comic book websites, or, you know, or I'm going to give a shout out to, Drew's podcast, Comics for Fun and Profit. If I hear that something, you know, spiked up in value, like if I remember correctly, I think Thanos number 13, the first appearance of the Cosmic Ghost Rider, that of course I will, you know, keep aside. I'll bag, board it and put it in a top loader and, you know, stick it on the side, or with intentions of selling it in the future. So yeah, so that's basically it. So it's like usually I just buy my comics, I read my comics, and if some of them spike in value, you know, that's great. That's really great for me. What criteria do I have that, you know, that makes me drop a comic book from, you know, from my pull list? First and foremost, basically, if a series ends, I mean, like recently Valiant Comics, Bloodshot, Salvation was a 14-part, storyline. So basically it's like after the 14th issue, I knew they're going to stop and reboot, Bloodshot again. So basically that was my jumping off point. Also too, another factor is sometimes if a creative team, writer and artist, end their storyline and a new creative team comes on, for me, same thing. I'll just stop and I'll just jump off that book for whatever reason, because, you know, so it's just like basically I'll just jump off the book. But then also kind of like it also kind of goes in the opposite direction. Like, you know, if I know a good creative team, a good writer, such as Robert Venditti, if I know he's going to take over a series, you know, I'll follow him. I'll pick up his stuff, you know, and I'll follow, you know, whatever story arc he's working on. Or even an artist, sometimes I'll even follow certain artists as well too. Like, Kevin Maguire, he did I believe it was like a 2 or 3-parter Supergirl storyline, I think back in the summertime. So I picked up his issues. I normally don't read Supergirl. So basically that's why I picked up the Kevin Maguire run on Supergirl, because I love his artwork, you know. And let's see, the final question. Describe your comic book organization. Bluntly put, I'm sorry guys, I don't have an organization. I don't keep anything in alphabetical order. I've got like tons of reading stacks. My comics are literally all over the place. The ones that, like I said, the one that I know that are spiking up in value, those I'll pull out a bag and board them and put them in top loads and just separate it from the rest of the stack. So basically that's, you know, how I collect comics. That's how I read comics, you know? So it's basically, it's like, you know, word of mouth, reading the previous Spotlight episode gets me interested. If it's a good creative team that I know, and that I know, like Robert Venditti or Kevin Maguire or George Perez, I'll jump on their books and I'll just follow them. You know, if the creative team stops, you know, usually I'll jump off and, you know, I won't continue on with the series. Or if a book ends, you know, nowadays, like, books, you know, sometimes they last, you know, even though they, you know, they reboot and relaunch, and sometimes these series, you know, last 12 issues, you know, that 12th issue, if I know they're going to reboot, I drop off, you know. And a very good point is that, case in point, Karen Gillian and Salvador LaRocque, that did Darth Vader, the first volume of Darth Vader, when I knew they were gonna end at issue 25, I jumped off. I didn't want to jump on to another Darth Vader series. Limiting factors, you know, basically, you know, money, you know, space, and of course time. No one has time enough at last to read all their comic books. And then finally, my comic organization. Unfortunately, guys, I don't have any, I don't have it in alphabetical order or anything, you know, so it's just all in my reading stack. So that's it, guys. You know, I look forward to hearing, you know, what everyone has to say about, you know, their how they collect comics and so forth. You know, John, I just want to say thank you very much for letting us, you know, participate in your podcast. So until next time, guys, you know, aloha.
Hey, John, this is Nick with my responses to the questions for the January preview spotlight. I'm looking forward to hearing how everybody approaches their comic book reading and collecting this month. Hopefully you're enjoying your travels, and hopefully everybody had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Jumping right into the questions here. How do you pick what you get? For the most part, I like to be a steady reader. I've got a standing subscription at my local comic book shop, which covers most of the comics that I read. And the limiting factor there is money, but on top of that, time, interest in any particular title. For example, if I'm really just not liking what's going on, I'll trim the title and add in something else that's got my interest piqued. And then throughout the course of a month, say from what I hear on the previous spotlights, or maybe my local comic shop, somebody's talking about it, or the owner's promoting some title that's coming up, I may add a title or do some special orders throughout the course of the month, either at the store or online. What is your limiting factor? Money, time, interest, or space? Again, primarily money and time. And if something's really boring me in an ongoing series, I'll just drop it. In a nutshell, how do you define or describe your comic collecting? Primarily, I just buy comics to read them. I do collect or save some that I really enjoy. But for the most part, once I've read a comic, it gets bagged, boarded, and I'll periodically try to sell some, or if there's too many, just donate a bunch to a library or to Goodwill and clear out the room where those are stored. What sort of criteria gets something on or off your reading list? Primarily, if it's got a creator that I'm really a fan of, and I'd say definitely more artist-driven than story-driven. There's a couple of writers that I enjoy, but if it doesn't have good art, or if, say, the art changes mid-series and goes in a bad direction, that's a big turnoff for me. Or if the writers choose some really questionable decisions, I will not hesitate to drop a title. For example, the recent decision to shoot Dick Grayson in the head and go through all the name changes and all of that kind of silly stuff, that I just don't find that kind of decision interesting to make in a comic. So I've decided to not read Nightwing for now. And the last question here, how do you maintain, store, or organize your collection? As I mentioned before, I just keep my comics in bags and boards, in a series of boxes and bins, in a spare room, until there gets to be too many. But I do keep separated the comics that I really, really want to keep, so my true collection, versus the ones that, if there's too many, I'll just sell or donate. And yeah, I think that about wraps it up. So again, Happy New Year to everyone, and looking forward to hearing everybody's responses.
Hi everyone, this is Darren, comic trekker on the forums, and it's been way too long since I've recorded a submission to the preview spotlight, but I've been listening. So to answer your question, how do I pick what I get? I feel like I need to go into a little bit of background briefly on how I actually read comics. I started collecting comics in the 70s, but I've been reading comics mostly in digital format for several years now. Now, first, let me say, I love print comics too. I own many of them. And if I were still buying print titles today, I would definitely check out Cowabunga Comics. The whole crew over there sounds like great people. And I have at least two good LCSs here in my city, Fargo, North Dakota, as well. I know that you just cannot duplicate the community feel of a good local comic shop. So, I mean, if I have a little bit of envy, to be honest, about print comics collections, but it's just not for me at this stage in my life, and I'm going to go into that a little bit here. Now, the first reason that digital comics generally work best for me is that I simply love how comics look on a backlit screen. I first discovered digital comics way back, about a decade ago, in 2008 through what was then called Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited. Of course, today it's Marvel Unlimited. You see, I had, like some people do, not everybody, but like some people do, I had left comics for a little while. And I was into a lot of movies and TV shows almost exclusively at that time, in addition to having a young family, so I was just not really into a lot of comic reading at that time. But I heard about Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited. I checked that out, and that was really what started getting me back into comics. Now, when I first discovered that, of course, this was before the iPad, and after the iPad debuted, I discovered Comixology. Once DC announced that they were joining Comixology, I knew that that was going to probably become my primary comic source. I am a DC fan from way back, and when DC announced that they were going day and date digital in 2011 with the new 52 rollout, then it really was all over for me, and I've been reading digitally almost exclusively since then. Now, the other reasons that the digital format works for me well is because of my schedule. So I'm lucky if I can read a comic a day, in some cases, two a day. It's a really good day for me if I can read two comics in one day. And I love comics. I really wish I had more time to dive into these things. But my fandom is hanging on. So while my preferred platform for reading my comics today is on my iPad Pro, I have a 12.9-inch version of the iPad Pro, the second generation, I believe. And I really recommend the iPad Pro, the larger one, for reading comics, because when you look at it in portrait mode, it's the same size as the standard comic page. So that's awesome. And sometimes I like to tilt it in landscape mode to read it in that mode so that the artwork is a little bit bigger. I don't like to read panel by panel. I like to read larger artwork and scroll that way. And I found that the iPad Pro works well for that. And then if it's a full page spread, I'll turn it to portrait mode and I'll read it that way. And if it's a double page spread, I flip it to landscape. Anyway, sometimes when we're out and about, it's also nice to be able to read on my phone if I just want to get caught up on something when time is as precious as it is for me today. And also with digital comics, I don't have to deal with finite storage space. We have a good-sized home, but the spare area in the house is the office for my business, and there's simply no room left to store a growing number of print comics. I've gone digital with most of my movie and TV purchases, too, unless something is just not available digital. So here's where I get into how the digital comic medium influences what I buy and read. First, being a digital reader, I read comics for the reading experience, not as a collector. My buying decisions are not determined by whether or not an item on the shelf will become scarce, therefore requiring me to purchase it almost as soon as possible, but by the content of the book, what I happen to like the most. And if I don't buy an issue right away, I can buy it at any time instantly, or I can read it on a subscription service, or on a service that ties in with my local library. More on that coming up. Now, most of what I buy day and date these days is from DC Comics, and here's why. It's been my favorite comic book universe since I was a kid, basically. Most of the DC titles I buy today are arguably, and I know that not everybody is going to see it this way, they're arguably consistent with the tone of DC books that I bought as a child and as a teenager. And not every DC title, and you know, I've heard John and the rest of you go into detail on that over the last few months, and I agree with you. I think that the quality of DC's books in general, broadly as a line, is a bit in trouble, and that's why I found I really have to pick and choose today. So the ones that are resonating with me and are on my day-and-date digital pull list are Action Comics, Superman, Supergirl, which is DC's most underrated title today, in my opinion. I love that title. Discovered it just a few months ago. Batman, Hawkman, and Shazam. I've pre-ordered Young Justice, Naomi, and Wonder Twins because I love Bendis' work, and the upcoming Flash crossover issues with Batman in February, they're on my list as well. I loved the crossovers from a year or two ago. They were great. I want to check that out again. Now, because I'm a fan of the DC universe as a whole, I like to buy and read DC's event titles, which these days are Doomsday Clock and Heroes in Crisis. I usually follow these events titles despite my feelings of the overall quality, though I've largely been pleased by DC events. I'm enjoying Doomsday Clock for the most part, though it's coming out way too slowly, as you guys have talked about. But Heroes in Crisis just, I don't know, it's just not really working. I like the creative team, though, so I'm going to stick with it to see how it ends. And I haven't been happy with Heroes in Crisis, basically for the same reasons that have already been expressed on the comic book page podcast, but I don't know. We'll see how it turns out. So at this point, to be honest, all of that is about all I can handle with day-and-date comic book purchases. I like to stick to a budget, so I do limit my new purchases for that reason, but The biggest factor is time. It's just time. And because of this, and because Marvel Unlimited is so completely awesome with its service of providing every title it publishes only 6 months after the initial publishing date, because of that, in 2019, I'm going to try and stick with Marvel Unlimited for my Marvel reading. This isn't because I don't want to buy new Marvel title. Quite the contrary. So I reached a point where I realized that it just doesn't make sense for me to buy digital books that I don't have time to read at that time, and then have them show up on Marvel Unlimited before I've even read them, you know? So at least for a while, I'm going to stick to Marvel Unlimited for Marvel titles. That could change someday, but I'm trying to maximize my dollar. Everything else that I read through digital trades, Marvel Unlimited, and Hoopla. Hoopla is a very, very good friend. In fact, Hoopla could be my DC Unlimited if I wanted it to be, and it is for titles that I don't have the budget or the time to collect, such as the current Justice League run or Red Hood. DC's new DC Universe service is a good but unreliable source of comics, meaning the choices of comics they offer are older and much more random than Marvel Unlimited. This has always heavily influenced my decision to stick to DC-only titles for my day and date purchases. Now, if you aren't aware, Hoopla is a digital service offered by many local libraries. So check with your library to see if it's offered in your area. DC has virtually their entire digital trade collections available there for free. Free. Day and date when they're published. I mean, the day that they're out in stores, they're on Hoopla. That's amazing. Now, publishers are paid by the local library systems when a user checks out a digital title. So they have to cap the number of titles that you can have out a month. Here in Fargo, we're capped at 5. We can have 5 titles out a month. But the user doesn't have to pay a dime for that. That's an awesome system, if you ask me. The only quibble that I have is that the digital files themselves don't have as much resolution as the nearly pristine Comixology files. There's more pixelation on Hoopla, so the images look a bit softer on really good displays like the iPad Pro. But hey, it's hard to argue for free. For my very favorite titles, though, I will buy digital trades for $4.99 when they're on sale for the best image quality. That's for my favorite titles that I'm not getting monthly. So right now, that's Aquaman and Hal Jordan, etc. And finally, as far as organizing my collection goes, Comixology takes care of that for me. But to rate my reads and to maintain a pull list, I really like the League of Comic Geeks website. LeagueofComicGeeks.com, I believe. I go on there and I rate every book after I've read it on a 5-star scale. And I do the same on Comixology itself. I use League of Comic Geeks to track my ratings and reads of Marvel Unlimited and Hoopla titles as well. So it's kind of, and also print books when I read them. And that's a great way to kind of wrap all of that under one service. So that's my comic book consumption in a nutshell. Whew, this was a long one here. Thanks for sticking with me here. Now look, I know that digital comics aren't for everybody. Like I said, I do have some print comic envy, and I do miss going to an LCS, but I found that reading digitally works the best for me. So, thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll be listening to you as well.
So one of the things that prompted me to do these questions for this episode was I really struggled to keep up on my reading in 2008 and wound up cutting back, and it really made me question why I was getting what I was getting and made me wonder how other people were making those kinds of decisions. So again, that's what prompted this, and I appreciate everybody's responses so far. I found it fairly interesting, particularly more than one person mentioned how they've got their collection kind of segregated into those they definitely want to keep and those that they could sell off at any point or something, which is totally different than how I do it, but was interesting that it was something a couple of people had mentioned, and a lot of it being kind of a space issue I get. So for me to answer these questions of how I pick what I get, there's a loose criteria here. And again, it's something I'm still kind of figuring out how to articulate to myself. There are certain characters and properties I really like and will likely stay through the not so good runs. Nightwing is a good example. I've been a fan of that character for a really long time. And while I don't care for what they're doing, it's a well-told story. It's just one that reeks of kind of a built-in take back or reset that's going to have to happen, which kind of irritates
irritate. And were it another character, probably would have been enough at this point for me to have dropped the book. So certain characters and properties get a little bit of a pass or have a benefit of the doubt. Art certainly can sell me on a comic, but story is key. And if it gets to the point where the art is getting in the way of the story, impacts my ability to enjoy the story, that can kick it off the book, or kick me off the book, I should say. And certainly preview pages in previews or elsewhere can help a lot in deciding, do I want to get this book or not? And the same story, even with the same breakdown and panel layouts, but implemented by two artists, one whose style I like, whose style I don't, that could determine if I get the book or not. Now, there are certain creators, predominantly writers, but some artists too, that if they're on the book, I'm more likely to get it just because their work clicks. Good examples of that, Tom Zoller, who's both art and writing. I love his work. So unless it's something that the subject matter is clearly not yet, well, My Little Pony, I guess he does that, really his property, but still, it's one of his things I don't get, or one of the things he does. Other examples would be like Mark Waid, Kurt Busiek. There are some writers that I really kind of like their sense. I like the stories they tell, so I'm more likely to get. Now, that doesn't mean I get everything they do. I'm a superhero fan, a sci-fi fan. They're doing something as fantasy or something else, may not make it on my list, may not even make it on my radar. There are some writers that their work just doesn't click, either the way they tell the story, the way they pace it, or whatever. Probably the best example at the moment, Christopher Priest. There are things he does storytelling wise, like how he feels the need to title every scene, things like that, that make it more like an artificial story than kind of following chronology of a character. Throws me out of the story, just doesn't. So there are times the creator, pro or con, will impact if I get it. And really kind of the bottom line is content matters. Now, I don't want anyone to misinterpret that as I'm sort of a stickler for, well, they did this, they've got to get that at all. But if the stories the publisher has already told don't matter to the publisher and throwing out the content, disregarding it, why should those stories matter? And if they don't matter to me, why am I investing my time, money, space, etc. in reading them? And single-titled narrative universes, such as a lot of Image titles, a lot of back half use type titles, they have less story in that narrative. And if I'm not in there enough, it loses traction. It doesn't stay with. And short runs on titles have even less kind of staying power. And for me, I kind of want to escape from reality and dive into these other worlds for a bit when I read. And if those stories, universes lack kind of structural integrity or enough story inertia to keep me there and get me back, it's less likely for me to keep buying. Which is part of why when I cut stuff, I'll often cut an entire narrative universe versus just a title or two. Now, what is my limiting fact? Money, time, space. Really, if I had to sort those into order, and there could be other things interest, but for me, it's kind of an order of time, space, interest. As I stated before, I really could not keep up with my 2000. I really struggled with that. And when I read stuff, enough time had elapsed since I'd read the previous issue that it kind of hurt the story moment. And even when I would read, in some cases, 10 or 11 issues in a row of a story, it had the momentum, but so little would often seem to happen per issue that it felt unrewarding. So, starting with the comics that are arriving in 2019, and I'm recording this on January 1st, 2000, so starting with the books being released tomorrow, I've cut back. So it was with my my November order with Cowabunga, and I've cut back to around a half to a third of what I had been getting in 2000. And this puts me kind of back in line where I was around, I'm going to say, 12 years ago or whatever, about the time I was starting the podcast, and about the time actually I moved my collection from short box drawer boxes. I was getting about 26 comics a week on average, thereabouts, and right now I'm getting, had been getting about 48, and I'm trying to, again, trim that down to closer to around 20. And that plays into space. Space is becoming a concern. I mean, short box, and I'll get to this when I talk about how I maintain my collection, but I've been scanning my stuff in, and as I put it into short boxes, and I was reviewing that today, and a short box is holding for me an average of 143 comics. Now, given how many I got in 2018, I filled over 17 short box comics last year. That's a lot. And when I moved my collection out of short boxes, which I did around 2006, and put them into drawer box, I sorted everything, I organized it and such, that emptied out at least 180 short box, which I've been refilling kind of since I kind of started filling up the drawer box and whatnot. And I'm getting down to about 34 short boxes left. The pace I'd been going, by the end of the year 2020, I would be out of short boxes. Keep in mind, I had collapsed those short boxes so they take up a lot less space. Now they're full and taking up a lot of room. So my comic book room is just overcrowded. It's only so big. Clearly, I need a bigger, but shy of TARDIS level technology that probably going to mean moving, which is on the horizon as soon as I figure out how to make that happen. But I just don't have enough space. So cutting back is part of that. And not only in the comic book room, but up in my home office, that's where I store kind of the comics I need to read, because I've gotten in the habit of reading them at my desk to where I can be putting in my ratings for them and stuff like that. And it gets pretty crowded up here too.
So in a nutshell, how do I define or describe my comic collecting? And I'm going to go with kind of casually obsessive, because I really don't consider myself a ultra hardcore fan of anything in particular, but I'm a serious fan of a lot of things. And historically, I've been not necessarily all in, predominantly all in the DC Universe, the Marvel Universe, and liking that big picture. And this goes back to where continuity matters to me. And since it's mattering less to the publishers, it's mattering a lot less to me, particularly given how much of it just filler material. And this is really, again, underscored by having read a lot of comics recent and a lot of them being less fulfilling. So what criteria gets something off? Well, to get on my reading, it's got to have kind of a concept, creative. Most of all, it's got to have a good pitch. If they can't pitch the comic to sell me on it, I'm not going to get it. And sometimes it's as simple as I didn't even hear about the comic until it came out, or it just didn't sound. It sounded vague, or it sounded specific, but in one of those cliche manners. Last night, I was looking for something on Netflix just to kill time. I hadn't done that in a while. And as I was going through a lot of the things there, it was cliche, abbreviated, and uninformative blur. You know, it's an action-adventure world, you know, story, and aliens are there, and it'll never be the same sort of things that were meaningless and could have described 500,000 stories. It didn't describe that story. So if I'm reading a solicitation in previews and it's, you know, a superhero unlike story unlike any I've ever read before, it doesn't tell me what it is. It tells me what it's not. And that's probably inaccurate. But that's what it takes to kind of get on my list. And that's vague criteria that I really need to find a way to articulate better. Because it doesn't need to be a cool concept or even the same old, same old. It's got to be a unique blend of the two. It's got to be familiar, so I've got a comfort zone, but it's got to be not just more of the same. Now, to get off my list, this is something that usually once I've read it, does it stay on? Now, if it's a bad execution of the story, it's all. If it's too slow of a story, like a first issue that really just doesn't tell me much of a story, it can get all. If the art is bad and just doesn't click, let me clarify. It could be brilliant art, I just don't like it, or I don't feel it's telling the story, or just not working for me. It can get all. And the other thing is, if it's not something that I'm likely to care about having read, you know, a few years from, if it's read it, forget about it type material, I need more than that. And if it's a story that I know is gonna end up having not happened respects or not mattering if it happened, that can get off my list pretty. So a change in continuity, the tone and style of a book, creative, that puts the title back under consideration for a spot on my list. Now let's think about that. The best an existing title can hope for is to stay on the list. I mean, the other option is to get dropped. So is it really a good idea for an ongoing title to make any question if they should be getting that title or not? Because a yes is just maintaining the status quo when a no is losing. So when I hit the end of an arc and it's a clear story end and a different story starts that just happens to have the same character made, that's a book that lacks inertia for me and is not likely to have as strong a spot on my list as other titles. Now, everybody's going to have a different criteria for what they like. It's a good book or something like that. And that was one of the things I really noticed with all the clips, is a lot of people, well, I'll get it if I like it and I'll drop it if I don't, which it makes perfect sense, but it's hard to make that into actionable stuff. I am in the same boat. I was going through a lot of stuff recently. It's like, does this make it on my list or not? You know what? I just don't feel the need to read the next issue. And then I hit one where I did, and I'm trying to put my finger on what did that comic differently than the other. And I'm having a really hard time articulating. It's a surprise huff question answer, and one that I'm going to
probably be thinking more and more about, of course. Now, how do I maintain, store, and organize my collection? There's two aspects of that. One is how do I track what I'm getting and what I've gotten, just from almost an inventory point of view. And then there's kind of physical aspect. What I do, and this is me being a bit of a computer geek, a data junkie, and some of this is just to play with technology as much as else. But I take the consumer order form, text version, toss that into Excel, and I've got a worksheet that I use for that, and I've got another page in that workbook that has which titles I'm getting, which is more important of late, and I need to be doing a better job of obtaining them. And it tags stuff that I know I'm getting. You know, certain books are firmly on my list, others not so much. But it'll either put a 1 or a 0 in the quantity. I then have a macro in VBA, Visual Basic for Application Excel, that when I get the Cowabunga order form, will transfer that stuff over. And that becomes kind of my final order, which I, and again, James, I think is the same way. I'll send my order in as late as I possibly can, just hoping new information gets me some better decisions or whatnot. The idea being I have to pester Eric a little less to add a list. From there, it goes into an items on order workbook that is just whatever hasn't shipped. Now, technically, it's gotten to where it's not only whatever hasn't shipped, but what also has shipped this year. Because then at the end of that year, I will move that into my Excel in. And I'm kind of pushing the limits as how well Excel can handle some of what I'm just because it's poorly structured. I've got a page on the website for an early version of this, and I need to get around to updating that web page as I kind of refine the system, hopefully over the course of. But every week, using that items on order, I've pulled down the shipping list from Diamond. I've got a macro that reads that, tags what comes out. I cross-check that against the email I get from Eric as to what's shipping that week. And then the things I get, I copy from there into my reading status, and that's where I tag everything with the rate and stuff like that. Now, it may seem like a convoluted process, and probably is, and I certainly am not recommending this for others, but it's what works for me. Because I hate, you know, reading things out of order just because I lost track of what's out. Now, that's the Excel files and such, and I just updated the inventory at the year end, and I've got 66,190 items in that inventory, and that's not everything, because I've got a few things that I just have accumulated at cons and stuff like that that haven't made it into the process, particularly this year, but even stuff from previous years, and probably some free comic book day stuff, and other things that are not part of the weekly routine. And it certainly doesn't include anywhere near all of my trades and hardcovers and such like that. But honestly, to get a full inventory of that, I just need a little more space to work and sort this stuff. So that's probably not going to happen until I move to a new get work. The other inventory system I use is the Comic Collector software from Collector Z. I got that a number of years ago, and I got a small barcode scanner. I mean, the thing is tiny. It's a Opticon 2001. They've got newer ones. Works both disconnected, but also with a USB tether. I tend to use it tethered, because that way it'll check the scan as I do the scan. And sometimes my scanning's not so good. It misses the issue number and it just says, oh, it's this title. But what I do is after I read stuff, I put them in a short box. Once the short box gets full, I've got, I take the stuff out of there, put it into another short box as I'm scanning it, and that goes into what I call kind of a quote-unquote scan box. Crazy clever name. And I've done about 125. I'm working on scan box 126, and I just scan them as they go in. And that goes into the Collector Z software. I've currently got 17,804 comics scanned into that, which is kind of the most recent 26-27% of my overall collection. I have not gone back and scanned everything from that's in the drawer boxes. You know, stuff from the 80s that don't have barcodes. They've got another way to put it in. I haven't gotten around. If and when I can get a bigger and better comic book room, I will go through and probably rescan everything as I sort it and get it into an organized version of the collection. But we'll see how that goes and when that starts. Now, physically, I've got 4 or 5 different kind of areas of my collection, at least. For comics to read, a little while ago, I picked up some plastic BCW comic book bins for comics to read. I put them in there, usually grouped by shipping week. When I was getting behind, I did pull stuff out into different boxes for Marvel and DC, and keep those week by week because there's kind of the continuity or whatnot. But then for other publishers and more self-contained narrative universes, I just did it alphabetically, numerically. Those boxes are currently empty. empty. It's a major accomplishment here, which is good because I'm recording the yearly comic spotlight tomorrow as I record this now, but it'll have gone up before this episode, probably, almost certain. So that's where the comics to read go, except for the ones I'm going to review. I've got something sitting here on the side of my desk. It is a Safeco, S-A-F-C-O, 5575BL Leather Look Magazine Rack 5 Pockets. It was available at Walmart online. It's still available. I hope I paid cheaper than it seems now. It's about $100. Anyways, it's a 5-pocket magazine rack. And what I do is the bottom pocket has just got some reference stuff like the Multiversity Guidebook, CN Rebirth, things like that. The other three, and this is starting at the bottom going up, the next one will hold the DC book, followed by the next pocket, the Marvel book, followed by the one above it, other. And then I've got a few other things in the top book, which I need to sift through and see what are. I think a few of those are still left over from the back issue spotlight on issue 500s. Tells you how far behind I've gotten in some of my bookkeeping. And that's where I put the review copies. It's just really handy to have the reminders to, oh, this is what I'm going to memory jog and physical access. From there, they go into short boxes as they've gotten read, and then I scan them out of there into short boxes that then go into the comic book room as soon as I can get around. Now, the bulk of my collection is in drawer boxes. I moved stuff into there again back around 2006. They're sorted alphabetically by title, numerically within that. There are dividers, but titles, they're unlabeled dividers, but I'll get around to that probably on the next pass of going through the whole collection. And I was really kind of happy with how that wound up. And then I started podcasting, which took some time, and I got a little behind, so stuff started going short boxes in kind of a chaotic manner. Then I finally got around to having stuff as I scan as I go in, so I could at least tell you where stuff around the launch of the New 52 Forward is in which box. And I've got post-it notes on them to label them. Of course, some of those post-its are falling off the boxes, so there's that. But those boxes are really in chaotic order. They're not sorted. Sometimes they're kind of chronological-ish, either by how I read them or at least how I scan them in. But at some point, what I'll do is I'll go through each of those short boxes. Again, there's 126 boxes I've scanned in and at least 20 to 40, if not more, that I haven't. I'll go through each box, sort within the box, and then pull stuff out of boxes that are now in sorted smaller piles into a larger collection. Do that a time or two until I get everything sorted again. But obviously, that takes a lot of room and a bit of time. Why it's not been done. And for my trades and my hardcovers, I've got bookcase. I've got lots of books, many of them from IKEA, some not so much, and they're just in there as I've gotten room. I've got some other shelves I've put stuff on, and it's chaotic at best. This is again where part of what I want to do for a comic book room is get a lot more organized bookcases so I can put things in a much more sensible order to where I can go find stuff. But that takes time that I just frankly didn't have over the last year to go do, so the collection's not as organized as that. That kind of sums up how I store and tour and kind of maintain my collection. Obviously, I use bags and boards. Trying to think what else. That's a lot of it. Again, I've got a hybrid of Excel that's got my full inventory, Collector Z that's got, you know, a quarter of it. I do export the Collector Z stuff to XML that I then have some Python scripts that'll go and do some crunching on that I'll probably work on a little further, because no off-the-shelf software is exactly what I want. I've got some projects here. And I need to get a little more organized. I changed 2017 how I was doing my ratings. I need to pull all of that into a database where I can do a little better job assessing how I'm liking different writers and artists and whatnot. Have that in a little what I'm getting. So really, I'm still trying to articulate what it is that gets something on and off my list. I gave some criteria, but it's kind of a gut assessment, and I want to get a little bit more of an ability to articulate what I think makes a good comic that I need to read versus what makes a good comic that I don't, versus what makes a bad comic that I oddly don't read. Although in a few cases it's bad and I'll still get it anyway. But it's a different criteria for everybody, and like I said, I'm still trying to figure that out for myself. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this approach to it, the preview spotlight. Again, I had to get this done a little differently this month because previews came out a little bit late and I'm leaving before the deadline normally would have happened. Just the timing didn't work out this month. I appreciate everybody's submissions. I thought it was really good turnout, a lot of interesting information. I was surprised how many people you know, either give away or sell their comics, how they kind of divide it, the different approaches everybody has. I thought that was kind of cool. So in closing, We're going to go back to our regular format next month of an item or a clip per item of what you found interesting that other people ought to be getting. Again, as Jason mentioned, it's what can get people kind of off the fence on do I get a book or not. I think James mentioned as well, but a lot of people find it a very helpful episode. So sorry we didn't do the normal format this month, but I also, when I go through my order, I'll have some stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. And somebody's clip in the preview spotlight could be enough for me to say, you know what? I really should be getting this. Or you know what? It's not quite what I thought. It's not quite what I'm personally into, so I won't get it, but other people should. So we'll go back to that format next month. If you guys are interested in doing other kind of topic-based episodes like this, either as future roundtable discussions, so we can keep the preview spotlight to how it's kind of meant to be, and doing those on a semi-recurring basis and stuff, let me know. It's certainly something I'd be interested in doing because I'm curious about people's thoughts on other topics, be it, you know, events and crossovers. Do you like them? Do you not? How should they be done? How do you determine if you get them or not? What do you guys think of variant covers in terms of should they do them? Should they not? How should, when should, and just other topics like that. If you guys either have topic suggestions or think that's a good idea, a bad idea, whatever, please let me know. Because that may determine how often we do these and kind of what topics they'd come in as. And again, I'm seeing that as kind of roundtable discussions that you guys can kind of put your thoughts into and kind of, again, crowdsource those the way we've been doing preview spotlights. And then again, keeps the preview spotlight back for how they'll kind of... So again, hopefully everybody found this to be interesting, gave them some food for thought as to determining how they get, what they get, and whatnot. And with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.